Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It's a month since I last preached, and as you would know, we started off with talking about building strong foundations. Week one, we focused on Jesus' parable on the wise man who built his house on the rock. We saw same vision, same teaching, same storm, but with two different results because of the foundation on which they built their house. We also heard from Dave Reardon, it's only when a storm comes that we know how sure our foundation is. And in week two, we saw that Jesus was our cornerstone. It's from that cornerstone that we reference everything we do. And week three, we looked at the principles of sowing and reaping. What we are today is the result of what we've lived in the past, the choices we've made, what we think about. Week four, we looked at laying strong foundations for our children. That was that brilliant morning where we dedicated five babies, and just a beautiful morning. And we used the following statement to sum up everything we need to know about raising children. As God relates to us, his children, so we must relate to our children. And then in week five, we looked at letting go of the past, wiping the dust off our feet, dealing with the wedge of discouragement so that we're not being drawn back or pulled back or held back from what we're doing. Week six, what is your foundation? Jesus, our solid foundation. And then having concluded that Jesus is our solid foundation, the rock, our reference point, we started looking at those things, that Rio, we called it, the reinforcement, the foundational things in our walk that we add to tie us to our rock. And so in week seven, we looked at obedience and the blessing that comes from it. The next week, we looked at being living sacrifices. And so this morning, we come on this day of National Day of Thanks across our nation, and we're going to look at that foundational principle of being thankful, thanking God and thanking each other. Now, I know that many of you don't know too much about the National Day of Thanks. I don't know how many churches across our nation do it. It's growing, it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's slowly becoming a part of the community. But in 2003, Governor General Jeffries decreed, as it were, that this weekend would be the weekend that we would declare across our nation a day of thanks. Now, it's not like the day of Thanksgiving in America where it's all turkeys and whatever. It's a totally different thing, thanking God and thanking each other. And so in doing that, the Prime Minister of the day was John Howard, and a guy called Brian Pickering went to John Howard and he said, look, we need to do something in our nation that makes certain that we don't lose understanding of our Christian heritage and just the thankfulness we have to God for all of his benefits, as in the first sermon that was ever preached on our shores by Reverend Johnson. John Howard said, look, I can't do it, but Governor Jeffries can. And so Brian Pickering went, and Brian Pickering is one of those unsung heroes that nobody really would know about in our nation. He was a banker, just ran a branch as a manager, but leads probably the biggest prayer movement in Australia. Again, not too many people know of him. And this was his passion, this was his heart, an unsung hero, going to Governor Jeffries and saying, hey, this is what we want to do. Governor Jeffries, a fine Christian man with John Howard, felt that this was a great thing. They couldn't do it just about Jesus, of course, because that would cause or possibly cause offence. So they titled and tagged it Thanking God and Thanking Each Other. And so out of that came this day, this weekend that we celebrate. And in our shire, for 13 years now, we've been blessed to be able to have the mayor host, the churches run it, but have the mayor host a mayoral breakfast where we thank the unsung heroes. And again, blessed because when it first started, it was up to each mayor as to determine whether we would do it or not. But again, David Hodgett, member for Deakin, no, not Deakin. Anyhow, he's in Croydon. He was mayor at the time, and he, again, as a Christian man, decided that it would be a great thing to do in our shire. And so he again gazetted it in the Shire. So it doesn't matter who the mayor is, whether they're Green, Liberal, Labor, whatever the case may be, this is what we do. And as we saw yesterday at the event, to be able to get all the pollies together and to get all the council, or most of the councillors together, and to see them seeing this day as a good day to be a part of, we saw many people honoured, and Ken was one of those. And so as we think about this day, this weekend, as being a day where we just highlight thanking God and thanking each other, I just wanted to look at that this morning as one of our principles, one of the foundational truths that God's Word says. I wasn't surprised, but it did hit me a little bit this week as I was driving home from a meeting I was at. On Talkback Radio, believe it or not, the topic was all about why saying thank you isn't necessary in today's society. Isn't that interesting that this week is National Day of Thanks, and the topic and the research that was being advertised was why saying thanks isn't necessary in today's society. Obviously, my ears pricked because of what we were organising, what we were looking to do. We're living in a very self-centred society where the practice of good manners and thoughtfulness have been forgotten by most. You know, as I was a kid growing up, we were taught to say thank you for everything. And I mean everything. If you were given something, you said thank you. If somebody opened a door for you, you said thank you. It was just part and parcel of society. It was a part and parcel of good manners. And yet today, more often than not, you never hear the word thank you come, especially from children, which really, really surprises me, that parents aren't continuing to teach children good manners. When people fail to express gratitude, something is very wrong with the values of our society. Yet, the more I thought about it, the more I realised that I shouldn't be surprised that such a foundational, such a polite, courteous action is being eroded in our society. Why? Because giving thanks is a foundational God-birthed truth. And the world that we live in is more and more anti-God. Whether it be consciously or subconsciously, you find so much of what we would have thought common sense, what we would have thought just the thing you do, is being eroded from our society. There are so many passages in the Bible that talk about thanks. Let me just give you a few of them, because we could spend the whole day just reading Scripture, which wouldn't be a bad thing, but it wouldn't allow us to move on. Psalm 100, verse 1 to 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. We've done that already. We've sung to our Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. And there is so many people serving God today, just even in our church today, with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. We've done that. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to the generations. You know, we sing that song, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. What an amazing thing. In 1 Chronicles 16:8, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. You see, we say it so quickly, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Yet we should stop and think about that. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Call upon his name. Make known his deeds. As we thank God, the people around us start to hear about our good God. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing, or it is good to give thanks to God. Sing praises to your name, O Most High. And you'll hear a little bit more about why it's so good to do that. In Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks sometimes. No one? Oh, next slide. No wonder there's nobody. So, somebody? Oh, thank you. Thanks for telling me, Chrissy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. Not some, in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for me, for us. To giving God thanks in all circumstances. You know, sometimes you don't feel like giving God thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes there's things in your life that you wish weren't happening, but the Bible says to give God thanks in all circumstances. So what is thanks? Thanks is thanks. Thanks is thankfulness. Thanks is gratitude. Thanks is gratefulness. Thanks is appreciation. Thanks is giving credit. I don't know, Mike. I'll try that. So what is your default? And when I talk about default, I mean, what is the thing that you naturally do? What do you naturally find yourself doing? Do you naturally find yourself giving thanks? Or do you find yourself, as soon as somebody asks you something, you have a negative reaction? How many people shop at Woolworths or Coles or Aldi? That'll be everybody nearly, okay? I just wanted to see if you're awake. When you go to Woolworths, if you don't go to the self-checkout, which don't talk to you, but you go to the other checkout where a lot of our Oxley College and LMC students are, they are trained to say, "How's your day been? Would you like fries with that?" They try and upsell you, but the "how's your day been" is always the comment. I wonder how many times they hear negative. How many times they hear somebody say something about, "Oh." You try using a different default. You try using a positive default. "It's a fantastic day. Isn't God good?" Or something similar. "I'm having a great day. It is a great day." Whatever the case may be, I'll guarantee you they look at you as if, "Are you all right? Is something wrong with you?" What is your default? Think about it quickly. Just quickly run back through some of your conversations of late. Have you constantly looked for the negative or spoken the negative? Or have you shown gratefulness or thankfulness or gratitude or appreciation or given credit to somebody or something? In Luke 17, we can see the default of the world that we live in. And I think it's pretty true of where we are today. In fact, it might be a little higher in Luke 17 than where it is now. It's the story of the 10 lepers. 10 lepers who are obviously sick, who found Jesus and he prayed for them. And the Bible says that they were healed, but only one came back and gave thanks. The 9 were healed. The one that came back was made whole. Think about that. Think about what that really means. You know, when we give thanks, when we are one of the 10% that give thanks, there's another transaction. There's something more that happens in our spirit, in our psyche, even in our body. And I'll show you that in a minute. This morning, I wanted to encourage us in this room not to be 90-10, but to be all of the 10%, so that we go out into the world as a bulk group, learning how to give thanks, learning how to show appreciation, learning how to show gratitude and giving credit, instead of finding a negative comment, instead of making a negative comment, instead of dwelling on something that's negative. Me. That isn't me. But thank you for looking after us, Mike. Do you know there was a research done by the Harvard Medical School, and I read it, and I'm going to read a lot of their research because it's not coming from a spiritual point of view, it's not coming from my point of view, but it's coming from the research done by an incredible university. And this is what they found. They put out a paper to coincide with the season of Thanksgiving in America, which they had found and discovered was a time in the year that was tinged so often with sadness and anxiety and depression. And you can talk about that here. Christmas time often is a time of sadness. Mother's Day, Father's Day is often a time of sadness and depression. And so they found that the time of Thanksgiving in America was often a time where people were sad and depressed, where they were tinged with anxiety. Their research found that expressing gratitude actually lifted the spirits of people and the health of those who practiced it. The word gratitude, they said, is derived from the Latin word gratia, meaning grace, graciousness, or gratefulness. They said that gratitude is a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives, whether being tangible or intangible. Gratitude is a way for people to appreciate what they have instead of always reaching out for something new in the hope that it will make them happier, or thinking they can feel satisfied until every physical and material need is met. Yesterday at the National Day of Thanks, we had Tim Costello speak, and he told us a story about a gentleman who is the biggest blueberry grower in Australia, who's made a squillion. He lived in Bayswater. In fact, John and Ann Dennehy know him. I'm just dropping names, John, just so it makes me feel good. Giving you credit, John, okay. Thank you, John. Thank you, Ann. And anyhow, this guy who had the blueberry farm, what's his name? Ridley Bell. He made his first million and went and bought a car, a good car. And then as he started to look around, Tim Costello said that he saw his neighbour had a Mercedes, so he thought he should buy a BMW. Now, I don't know which would be best, but whatever the case is. And finally found that the more he had and the more he bought, the less happy he was. And so him and his wife decided that they would do something different with their money. And she was a midwife. And so they have started building hospitals over in Uganda. Hospitals for midwifery. Hospitals for people having babies. And he said, Tim Costello said, that a Ridley Bell that, you know, buying a new car didn't make him happy. Making lots of money didn't make him happy. But the thing that gave him the greatest joy and the greatest pleasure was reaching out and doing something different with his money, helping others. And so, you know, being wanting of other things is not going to make you happy. Giving thanks, showing appreciation, giving credit, re-sowing is going to make us happy. Harvard goes on to say that gratitude helps people refocus on what they have instead of what they lack. And even though it may feel contrived at the start, i.e., even though you might feel as though you're forcing it at the start, you're looking for something to do at the start, I know what happens, Mike. It gets caught in the beard hair. So I'm just going to cut a patch out just there from now on, okay? Even though it might feel contrived at first, they said that this mental state grows stronger the more we use it and the more we practice it. So even though you might feel as though you're being forced or you're doing it out of a sense of rote or have to at the start, the more you do it, the more you feel better about it and the more you want to do it. So gratitude is people acknowledging the goodness in their lives. They went on to say that in the process, people usually recognize the source of that goodness lies at least partially outside of themselves. As a result, gratitude also helps people to connect with something larger than themselves as individuals. So rather than focusing on self and becoming self-absorbed, you start to look outward, you start to look at others, you start to look at different circumstances and situations. They even found that people started to look for a higher purpose or a higher being. Now, they couldn't put God in their bit of paper, but that's what they really mean. As they start to give thanks, they start to look outward. They start to appreciate creation. They start to appreciate a higher being. We would say God. In positive psychology research, Harvard found that gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. They said that gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build stronger and greater relationships. Why wouldn't you say thanks? Why wouldn't you show gratefulness if they're the benefits that you're going to get out of it? Two psychologists, whose names I'm not going to say because they're so big, did a lot of research at Harvard. In one study, they asked all participants to write a few sentences each, focusing on a particular topic. One group wrote about the things they were grateful for and the things that had happened during that week. The second group wrote about daily irritations or things that displeased them. And the third group wrote about the events that had affected them, with no emphasis on positive or negative. After 10 weeks, they brought everybody back together, and they found that those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. And surprisingly, that same group had started to exercise more, had fewer visits to the doctor, and focused less on aggravation and the source of negativity. Isn't that incredible? Other studies looked at how you can improve a relationship. They got a husband and wife, couples together, and they set them in different. One group looked at picking on each other and finding all the things that they wish they could improve on, and the other group went about saying thanks. And you guessed it, the group that went about saying thanks and looking for positive and gratefulness and giving credit, their relationship grew together. The ones that spoke defaulted to the negative, their relationships grew apart. They even found in business that when managers remember to say thank you, now, you know, this is just common sense to us. But when managers remember to say thank you to their staff, they found that their staff worked harder and they got more out of them. Thank you, Chris, for all you do. You don't need more money. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Everyone say thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
We'll get more out of him this week. So, how do you cultivate Was that negative? Who said that negative comment? Who was it over there? Thank you. Thank you very much. I like my beard. You should say how nice it looks. What do you do to cultivate gratitude? Simple. Write a thank you note. Just write a note. You can make yourself happier. You can nurture relationship with other people by just writing a thank you letter. By just expressing your enjoyment, your appreciation for the impact that a person has had in your life. Another thing you can do is count your blessings. Now, I looked it up. Where's Graham Madeley? 314 in the Methodist hymnal, okay? No. Count your blessings one by one. I can't remember. I know the song, but I can't remember what number. But I looked it up. We used to sing it all the time. Count your blessings, count them one by one. As a kid, we counted our blessings when we'd go in and there was the hymn sheet up on the top and you'd see five hymns and then you'd duck to the hymnal and you'd count how many verses to see how long the service was going to go. You know, you would really hope that the songs only had three verses instead of five and a chorus on each. Anyhow, count your blessings. Pick a time every week to sit down and just to write your blessings. Reflect on what you're grateful for. Harvard said that praying was a fantastic way to cultivate gratitude. You know, the Bible says to enter his courts with thanksgiving, to enter his gates with praise. Just to start to have a mindset of just what we can be thankful for to God for what he has done. And then Harvest also said that you can meditate. Just stop and think. Focus rather than on the negative. Focus on what you've got to be grateful for. Your family, your kids, your car, your house, the food that you have on your table. You know, there's so many things that we can be grateful for. I'm going to give you a gratitude challenge. Here we go. List 10 living, now not dead people, they're next. List 10 living people you're grateful for. Just stop quickly and think. Just run through your head quickly. People that come to your mind incredibly fast that you're grateful for. And for people who are a little older, you know, there's people that have been in our lives that have died that we should be grateful for. I love people taking photos. Take photos. That's it. Get your camera out. Take a photo of that screen. Take it home and do it at home. List the 10 physical abilities that you have that you're grateful for. 10 material possessions you're grateful for. 10 things about nature that you're grateful for. 10 things about today that you're grateful for. Number one would be that you woke up this morning. Okay, there, I'll help you. Somebody got that? I'm glad somebody got that. 10 places on earth that you're grateful for. 10 modern day inventions you're grateful for. Now, the word modern is there. You know, I used to have to screw screws in by hand. And now I have an electric screwdriver. How many people are grateful for the electric screwdrivers? There you go. Ladies, how many people? You notice how we're sexist in this room? Ladies, how many people are grateful for their electric thermomixers? There you go, you see. I'm grateful for the thermomix. You should see the food I get out of it. It's wonderful. It just happens. It hops on a plate for me. It's wonderful. 10 food that you're grateful for. You know, we live in an incredible country with so much blessing, a bountiful blessing, the waste that we have in food. 10 verses in the Bible that you're grateful for. You know, if you did that right now, that's 100 things that you have focused on that you're grateful for. Isn't that amazing? And that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of how we can do it. You see, a question list like that just primes the pump. It just gets the pump working. And as you start thinking about it, you get more and you get more and you more. I started writing down the people that have died in my life that I'm grateful for. And man, I got 10 real quick. A lot of people have died in my life. It's amazing what happens when we start to prime the pump and we start to refocus ourselves. Just in church right now, I'm thankful for the incredible amount of people that serve in our church. If you serve in any way, shape, or form, in and outside of this church, in the name of God, stand up. Quick, That's children's ministry, that's youth, that's whatever. Stand up. If you're on hospitality team, if you give out the notices, have a look around. And, you know, down in children's church, there's probably about 40 down there serving. You know, I am so thankful. You can sit down for those that serve. You know, last night we had a chicks event here. I wasn't allowed to go. Those chicks on the team, plus others who volunteered, started working early morning. They worked right up to the start of the event, and then they served all the people that came. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful meal. Had this place looking incredible down there. Andy, thank you for doing the kitchen. The ladies are so happy. See, another thank you. See, credit, gratefulness, thanks. Oh, it's everything. But I mean it. You know, they didn't get home until after 12. And yet, they're back here this morning. Deb, back here, asleep on the piano. I saw you. Narelle, down at Children's Church early this morning, setting up. You know, incredible team. The people that did all the hard work at men's camp last week. You know, it just goes on and on and on. Peter Harris and his team and all the youth work that goes on a Friday night and children's work. It's just an amazing thing. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a thanks for life. You know, I immediately wrote down Pastor Hal, oldest person in our church, unless anyone else wants to top him at 101 and a half. Okay, what an incredible testimony to God's goodness. What an incredible example. Billy Simpson, turning 80 this week. We were at his birthday party yesterday afternoon and just listening to family and friends just talk about Bill's life. You know, an unsung hero, a guy that has done so much in so many ways without the desire of credit. You know, I honour you, Bill, and I thank you for what you've done in our church, for me and for everybody. Marriage. Bill and Joyce, 58 years married on the 14th of May. They forgot. I had to ring them and remind them. Bill, you've got an excuse. Joyce, no excuse. Anyone older than 58 years married here? Oh, that's a bad sign. got one? Okay. What a fantastic thing. What about family? Thanks for family. I love this church. I love the family nature of this church. You know, just seeing prams walking in, prams rolling in. seeing just our families together and what happens. At the end of church, you watch the kids and the families. The biscuits, they run immediately for the biscuits. They don't, nothing to do with the parents. Thanks for health. You know, healing testimonies. We had a great healing testimony come from the Easter egg hunt. We've had healing testimonies, just more and more of them happening. Serge, you must have thousands of healing testimonies. Haven't got time to get you up to talk about them, Serge. Bad luck. New salvations, both here, Oxley College, you know, dozens of them. Spiritual growth, baptisms, and seeing people grow in God. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Let's show gratitude. Let's show appreciation.